The message for today is he gives and takes away. In Job 121, if we have that, Job 121 on the screen. It's a great little scripture. There we go. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's where that comes from. I know you guys are going to be singing that psalm. You know, we have over the last study through Genesis, we've talked a lot, and also in Ruth, about famine. You know, we've talked a lot about what it's like to be without food, and it's kind of hard for us sometimes, I think, here in America to really understand what it's like not to have food on your shelf. You know, I guess one of the ways that one could think of it to bring a modern tone to it, some of you have gone to school hungry in this room. Some of you have gone to school and you saw your classmates take the sandwich or whatever that the parent had made or the guardian had made and saw them throw it in the trash can and then went and got a slice of pizza because that's what they would have, from a taste perspective, preferred. And you're thinking, God, I can't even eat something. And you're even contemplating that trash can to get the food out of, you know, to eat. You know, we don't understand hunger here. You know, I don't know that we necessarily know what it's like to be without. You know, maybe you work so hard through the day and you're like, oh, I forgot to eat. Maybe you get a little bit of that. But I mean things that are outside your control, hunger. You know, we're so blessed here in this country, and I am so thankful for that. I am so desperately thankful that God has seen a fitting that we could throw a sandwich away, you know. Or you see your friends hogging down your food and you're drinking warm water just to keep your stomach from gnawing, you know. Kind of a suggestion and sidebar, if you're wanting to, you have some disposable income, you know, one of the things you can do is call your local school and then just ask them who, you know, the kids go through and they get a number. And if their account is full, they get to buy the meal. Can you imagine going up and having your number clicked and your account's dry? You know, you just, some will let you eat, some you can't if your account's gone bad. You know, have you ever eaten a meal at school with the kids or grandkids? I mean, the food's not bad, you know. It's not great, but it's not bad for $3. I mean, come on, but if you haven't eaten anything, then it's a lot of food. You know, may I encourage you this year, if you're looking to support a family, you know, many times we'll talk about, well, let's support a family and give them their Thanksgiving meal or their Christmas gifts. You know, may I encourage you to check with your local school system and just find out who has the greatest need for food, and then just go fill their account. If it costs you $30 to do so, maybe $60, we'll do it twice, or get your family together and just get them fill their card for the whole year. Mom, I ate today. You know the worst time for a kid who's hungry? Do you know when the worst time of year is? Spring. Why? They go home to bare shelves. See, because many a time, that meal that they're getting is the only meal they're getting throughout the day. I would love year-round school, you know. But that's kind of a model of hunger, you know, if you can think in that way. You know, I was thinking what it was like to have to go through famine, and I really, all I could draw on outside of, you know, the recession, the great recession of 06 in Denver, 08 everywhere else, was the Dust Bowl. You guys remember hearing of that or know of that or items within that? You know, that Dust Bowl came around because of poor farming practices. What happened was the price of wheat had gone down so dramatically that they had to go ahead and farm more area to have more crops to get a greater yield so they can get a small margin on a bigger crop. Well, evidently a drought came by and all that field was turned up to dirt, no roots holding the soil in. And for 10 years, we have a problem with farmers. If you guys have ever seen the black and white rendition of Grapes of Wrath with Jimmy Stewart, you can see that probably on YouTube for free, but it gives one telling, you know, an artistic telling of what happened during those times. You know, you'd see the guys loading up their Model Ts or their Model As and driving out to California looking for work to go pick peaches or something like that because there was no work in Oklahoma or Kansas or southern Colorado. and not to have any food. I mean, you think of that Great Depression, you think of what happened with the farmers. You know, 1 in 10 of farmers had to give up their farms. And 50% of those were involuntary. That means it was of no choice of their own. They had to give up their own home. 21% of them were on subsistence or assist, farm aid, if you will. And during that entire time, you know, they're without food, proper food. Yeah. I used to say when I moved here from Texas, I used to have to throw a handful of sand on my food to make it taste right, you know, because the wind blows there pretty regular. But those folks are in bad shape. I mean, $1 billion? That's a lot of bucks. You know, in today's economy, from $1,930 to 2017, that would be 1,366% increase of that $1 billion. And that number would come out to 14,657,844,311,377. That's how much aid in today money was helping those folks during that time. This, we're talking some pretty severe stuff that's happening, right? See, we don't understand fast. We don't understand famine, but we do understand dollars a little bit, right? A trillion's a lot. Isn't it? You know, you could take dollar bills. Now, I gave this factoid out wrong, but I got it wrongly. I revisited it. And if you stacked, not stacked, but if you in line put dollar bills around the earth, you'd have to wrap the earth 4,000 times to get $1 trillion. You know, that's a lot of dollars. You know, if you were to stack them on top of one another, you know, satellites travel at 650 miles above the ground level. But to get $1 trillion stacked with $1 bills would be 60,700 miles off the Earth's surface. It's a lot of money, $1 trillion, and that's just 1 trillion. It'd take 10,000 18-wheelers to haul $1 trillion. If you had a 4-inch stack, that's about 4 inches, of $1,000 bills, you'd be a millionaire. A 4-inch stack of $1,000 bills. To get a stack of $1,000 bills to a trillion, it'd have to go to 67 miles. Are we kind of understanding a little bit about money and the absence thereof? You know, in this current time, you know, we're under heavy national debt. These numbers that are being given to you have been pulled as early as October the 2nd of this year. 2017. Our current debt is $20 trillion, $347,802,366,478. Or you owe $62,418 per person currently today, just for the debt. Or per your household, $161,723,000. Maybe you're a percentage person. We're currently operating at 106 GDP, gross domestic product, or our annual revenues have to be at 567% of revenues to meet that. But that's not really the total story. Do you guys know what it's like to have something unfunded? Let me ask you a question. If I gave you something and said, here, trade me something for something, and whatever I gave you had no worth, would that be a good trade to you or no? What if what I gave you had no worth, but it was depending on something else that had no worth or value or subsistence, securities, right? That's kind of what your dollar is, and I'll open that up here in a quick minute. Currently, in unfunded liabilities, we're at $84.3 trillion. That's 12 zeros that come off to the side of it. That money is distributed, $29 trillion to Social Security, $33.7 trillion goes to Medicare, and $8.3 trillion goes to publicly held debt, such as pension plans and accounts payable, and then as well goes to the environmental disposal cost, you know, dispose of the stuff that's needed to be taken care of. Maybe you need to understand that that's our true debt model. And what that costs you per person is $260,000. 382 per person. That's what you owe the United States of America. because of mismanagement of funds, or people's expectations are way too high. Personally, when we got off the gold standard, it was one of the biggest challenges I think we ever did. I think we should still be back on it. China currently has put their oil on the gold standard. That will immediately cause people to buy oil in that that direction. Why? Because it's secured. It's secured. The per household is $670,058. The GDP is 451% over, or the annual revenues of our current unfunded is $2,370. And that makes me sick. You guys that have newborn babies, you have newborn babies, you say, oh, you owe $322,800. There's your debt. Every baby that's born. Does that darken your heart a bit? Because that's what famine looks like. Can you do anything about that? Of course you can. On your personal level, some of you have homes that have leverage. You could literally cash out your home, walk away with cash, and pay off all your debts. Your commitments back up with something tangible. Some of you don't. Some of you have debt, and you have no way of paying that off. And that's kind of like this, you know? It's kind of like this. I've lived that life, so just to let you know, I'm not picking on anybody here. I don't know your financial situations, plural. The thing is this, my encouragement to you is that you make sure you have some type of backing other than that U.S. dollar, because that U.S. dollar says note on it. That note is backed up by the Treasury, right? So that dollar is a promise that the Treasury will come through, and the Treasury does not have secured notes. So it's a promise on a promise with nothing behind it. So somebody comes to you and wants to borrow money and they have no liquidity or no way to pay it back, you probably wouldn't lend to them. Are you, I'm kind of giving you 101 math here, and it's kind of vague. You know, some of you in here are numerologists, and you'll get this a lot deeper than I can give it, and that's fine. But today, it's just to show kind of the weight of our decisions and kind of the weight of what we do with money by and large, you know, and it's challenging. By the way, this all comes from justfacts.com, justfacts.com, and the national debt. He gives and takes away. You know, we have an amazing country. We are so blessed beyond measure, and we don't even know how blessed we are. We're in the top 1%, most of us, in this room. In the entire economy in the entire world, if not the top 5%, or maybe the top 10% of the entire world. Even the poorest people here are richer than the majority of the world. Did you know that? And most of our stuff is just like the Congress. We spend what we don't have, you know. Well, those tough times in the 30s, we would have seen stuff like that. Our tough times in 2006 and 08, I don't know about some of you guys, but many had lost businesses and lost jobs and lost their homes. Foreclosure was crazy. It cost $60,000 on average per home to run through foreclosure to the banks. And a lot of folks want to point to banks, and they want to point to lenders, and they want to point to everybody in this, but I got to tell you something, everybody had a bite out of that pie. I can buy this as a consumer. I can buy this. I can buy that. Yeah, you can. No, your financials don't show that. Well, I don't care what you say. I'm going to go down to somebody that says I can pay that. And we knew darn good and well that they wouldn't be able to own that home. And we advised against it, you know. But we got to have that fill in the blank. New pickup, new car, new whatever. New. The last time in the great recession of 06, 08, the last time that prices of the homes were down and the prices of money was down commensurate was the first time a transatlantic phone call was done on a landline from the Atlantic to the Pacific. MacArthur was just coming back from Japan, and I Love Lucy was in first run syndication. First run, not repeats. God is on the throne in the midst of all of this. And where we are today speaks of a disturbed representation of where they were. You know, we knew that over this 14-year period that Joseph was interpreting a dream that Pharaoh had. Remember the fatted calf and the gaunt cow and the fatted cow? This is time of plenty, and the gaunt cow was the time of little, right? Hardly anything there. And the gaunt cow ate the other cow. You understand that your money that you have right now is paper, and it's got a little material in it, but it has no material depth to it without your backing. If you don't have things that back that, then you're at risk if things change. And for what it's worth, things change. Why is that? Natural disaster causes things to change. Political panderings, like North Korea. Natural disasters again. We got Yellowstone up here that they're showing activity of levels that have never been seen before since they've marked it. And you guys that were around long enough to know Mount St. Helens, we saw dust and debris come all the way here from there. So that place is a little closer. This is not doom and gloom. This is things happen. And let's make sure that we're, as Christians, mindful of what the Lord would have us do and stay moderately prepared. You don't have to be like Bunker Bob living up in the middle of who knows what in a metal box or something. But you do have to have your mind and wits about you. You know, have your mind and wits about you. Can you imagine that? With that, I don't know what that dream would have been like for Pharaoh, but it was so bad that it disturbed him so greatly. And in Genesis 41, you can go there, but I just want to kind of bring this to you. What I thought was interesting as I was rereading it, during that time, you know, when we think of God giving and taking away in 41 and 32, Genesis 41 and 32, just that verse, I thought about him dreaming that and how horrid it was, and then he saw it again, and Joseph came to interpret the dream, and God gave Joseph the ability to interpret the dream. But it says, and the dream in 32 of 41, and the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. He gave them advance warning of what was going on. He let them know of what was going on, you know, during that time. And what was going on was an amazing famine in 47 and 13 is where we're going to be. Father, your word, please. Let us get insight and learn from it as you see fitting. And it says, now there was no bread in all of the land, for the famine was very severe. So for us, if we're out of bread, I was out of eggs the other day, we just go knock on our neighbor's door, or maybe some of you guys run down to the store real quick. But going back to the time of and seeing live the results of a famine time with my stepmom, when she'd only get maybe an egg for the whole family for the entire month during the World War II times in Holland, where she lived. And the result of that was her shelves are covered with food, because due to Hitler and his cronies, they wiped out everything that was going on there in her life, well into her teenager when she came into the States. And during that time, Hitler and the guys, they took all the cattle and all the livestock. What happened to the people that lived in Holland at the time? Their heart disease went down to where they had no problems with heart disease, no blood pressure, nothing like that. And again, when they reintroduced the cattle after the war was over, up came the heart disease and yada, 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 which I think is a kind of a cool thing if you consider Genesis 1:29. Jot that and read it later. There's no bread. There is no way to get food at all. When you need food and you have nothing, what will you do to get it? The famine was so severe so that the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan languished because of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt, in the land of Canaan, for the grain which they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. Do you understand that if you're the owner of all the money and you bring all the money in and you have nobody working that can do trade, your money is worthless? May I suggest to you that you try to take a Civil War dollar and go down to 7-Eleven and get whatever you buy from there? It's non-tradable. It has some, you know, historic sense to it and may have value there, but it's not tenderable. It can't be used for trade. When things fail, and the U.S. dollar one day will fail, when things fail, what are we prepared to do? Well, are you sounding warning bells and we should go? No, I'm just asking you to think and use these times now, because we can't keep running trillions upon trillions of dollars in debt. We just can't do it. It's going to break. We can print money, but it's phony money. Do you understand? And here's a good example in history of what happened. So when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph. Do you see the money failed? Do you understand that economies don't last forever? Greece was an amazing economy in its day, in the golden era. But I got to tell you now, they're, what are they? You guys have seen the news. Some of you guys that get solid newscast and solid news feeds that don't fill you full of beans. They're broke and they're broke city. The EU is falling apart. That experience is not working well because some countries are kind of ebbing and flowing, you know. We've had a good run, and we'll continue to have a run for a while longer. But I will encourage you, Christian, young Christian, some of you younger folks, start setting money aside. You know, we've had the Herricks teach the Dave Ramsey course for a reason, to equip you for challenges so that you can ride out a storm. Some of the people that I have trained historically and soon to go back and train again, we had them put 2 years worth of solvency into their bank account. Why? In case they get an emergency, break glass, and they can still operate at least for 2 years. That's one of our goals here at the church. When money in 15 of 47, when the money failed in the land of Egypt, in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, "Give us your bread, for why should we die in your presence? For the money has failed." They're crying out. They're hungry. You know when you get that tummy growl? Yeah, there's a time when that stops. You do know that, right? Because you're so hungry, your stomach has just shrunk. Then Joseph said, "Give me your life, give your livestock, and I will give you bread for your livestock if the money is gone." Okay, so what just got instituted? Money has failed. What are we now doing? It's a B word. Barter. What is barter? Trade, right? You have something to trade. That's a good thing, right? They had livestock. That's not bad. And I'll give you money for food. I mean, I'll give you, our money is gone, I'll give you food for your livestock. So they brought the livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for the horses, the flocks, the cattle, the herds, and for the donkeys. Thus he fed them with bread in exchange, barter, for all their livestock that year. Well, now you understand that there are 7 years of famine in totality. What happens after the year? You've given up your livestock. You've given over your business. What's left now? What's left? Huh? What? Zip? No, there's still something left. You want to see? When the year had ended, they came to him and the next year and asked him, "We will not hide from my Lord that our money is gone." We got nowhere to go, pal. "My Lord also has our herds of livestock." You've got that. "There's nothing left in sight of my Lord but our body and our lands." Look, when times get rough and you can't feed your family, you've heard of people giving their children over to an aunt or an uncle that their business happens to do well, right? And it's a horrid thing to have to do, but they had to give them over. Why? Because a better life was in store. My granddad was given over to his uncle who treated him horribly, and they ran through his inheritance back in Pennsylvania, you know? Poor guy, he just was a mess his whole life because both his mom and dad died young, and he was handed over to somebody to be in their care. You know, this happens. This happens to people. And you know something? When you have hard times, many people that have a good heart, they don't want their kids to leave them, but to give them a chance at life, they'll hand them over. Some will hand them over for money. I have people in my family that have sold their kids for money. Got a lovely family, don't I? But it's true. You know, people do things when hard times come. Be prepared. Cub Scout, Boy Scout model. Be prepared. We have our nothing in sight but our bodies and our land. So if they're giving over their body and their land, what are they giving over? Their rights are being removed and their labor is being instilled. Their land is now given over to the owner for food or for seed in this case. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Why should this die away? Buy us. I'm selling me to you. Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be as servants to Pharaoh. Give us seed. We may live and not die, that the land may not be desolate. The sharecropping, tenant farming, whatever you want to call it, They're vassals. They don't own the land. They're just working the land. Better that we at least know what we get to do and do what we've always done. Give us seed. And what does that seed represent? Hope. It represents hope. And what happens if the seed goes in the ground and drought's still upon you? You may not live another year. When was the last time you thanked a farmer for their wheat? We went out to have a meal out at Keensburg, a little restaurant there, and found out that the lady that was the manager had to work a little side job because farming was off. And I just told her, I said, you know, thanks for farming. I really appreciate it. And she kind of got a little weepy, and she says, nobody in my entire life has ever thanked me for farming. I'm like, you kidding, man? I got a girlish figure thanks to you farming, right? You know? Yeah. I need that 9 o'clock health class. Give us seed that we may live and not die. This is desperation. We'll trade me. We'll trade my wife. You can have us and do with us as you please. Just let us work the land that we know how to do. Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. Every man of the Egyptians sold his field. Everyone sold their field. Who was the number one landowner? Pharaoh. So the land became Pharaoh's in 21 of 47. And as for the people, he moved them into the cities from one end of the borders of Egypt to the other end. Only the land of the priests he did not buy, for the priests had rations allotted to them by Pharaoh, and they ate their rations which Pharaoh gave them. Therefore, they did not sell their lands. Then Joseph said to the people, indeed, I have bought you and your land this day for Pharaoh. Look, here's your seed. You shall sow in the land. You shall sow the land, and it shall come to pass in the harvest that you shall give one-fifth to Pharaoh. Four-fifths be your own as seed for your field and for your food and those of your households, because you got families. It's not the two of you. And as food for your little ones. So they said, you have saved our lives. Let us find favor in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt to this day that Pharaoh should have one-fifth, except for the land of the priests, which did not become Pharaoh's. At 20%, pretty good trade. You know, there's no financial prejudice in that. Yeah, there's financial prejudice. So if you have a small land, you're going to pay 20% in royalties, if you will. If you have a big land and big farming and great crops, 20%. If you have a poor yield, even in your poor yield, 20% goes. Sounds like taxes, right? But you're alive. Who wins? Oh my God, I lost it all. I lost my cattle. I must have lost. No, you're alive and you're living and you're getting to work and breathe and feed your family. Pharaoh won. He got the land and gave him the seed because of a vision. He listened to a wise man. He listened to a wise man. Joseph had to administer to this. Can you hear all the ear chatter that comes his way and all the yelling until we get to the point where we're relegated of our situation? And then there's still an offering of you having life to be able to move on and continue to do what you would prefer to do to begin with. You just lost ownership. You're still living your life. Right? God wins because he knew it ahead of time. He allowed the thing to happen. It said in 41 of verse 32, he said he allowed it to happen. He gave us foresight in that. Look, you guys seeing these numbers? Can't last forever. It can't last forever. There's things that come at a challenge. He gives and takes away. They all won in this thing. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a new hope and a future, right? But in Jeremiah 29:4-14, do we have that? Did I load that up? Jeremiah, can you load that up? Thank you. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, building houses and dwelling in them, plant in gardens, eat their fruit, take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. That means enslaved. And pray to the Lord, for it, for in its peace you'll have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name, and I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Our Father knows what's going on with us. Nothing is amiss to him, not one thing. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to set up barter systems. He knows how to trade. He knows how to get you out of the pinch that you're in right now. But you got to quit pinching yourself, you know, to get out of that pinch. Matthew 10, 29 and 31, please. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not the one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will, but their very hairs of your head are all numbered? Do not fear, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. Psalm 121.3. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Psalm 8.4. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? How can you even care for us, Lord? Look at you. Isaiah 49:15. Oh, well, stay there. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Did you notice? Eyes up. Did you notice it says, I shall not desire? He knows what your wants and needs are. End of story. Go ahead to the next one, please. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Securely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. I will not, promise. Next one. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. And lastly, Psalm. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear or respect him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are but dust, or we are dust. Get out of the shackles that you have self-connected to today. Make a plan for that. Get your house in order, please. It's a good lesson to see where the Egyptians were, and they were a mighty country. They were big. They were the big boys on the planet. Guess what? We're the big boys on the planet. Their money failed, ours can. And I don't know what the trade is in that regard. Does God take care of us? Absolutely does. He takes care of us physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally. Physically, he gives us food. He gives us water. He gives us shelter. And by the way, he gives us transportation. And you're probably walking on them to get in here, right? Emotionally, he listens to us. He speaks by his Holy Spirit. He speaks through his word, through prayer, through situations, and through his people, four ways. Spiritually, he feeds our soul and speaks to us by his Holy Spirit and washes us clean by the word. Wake up, American. Wake up, Christian. Know that your Father is about you, right? Relationally, first with him by the power of the Holy Spirit, and with others to love him. We have each other to get through these times. Now, is this something you got to go out and do wholesale change? Some of you, yes. Some of you, incremental. But I will encourage you, based on where we're at in history, I'm not bringing up a negative because for negative sake, this is hard times, and this is factual. And we're living of times that could mirror that quite easily. There's only one thing he wants in return. What does that sign mean? I give up. Surrender. Or pick me up, Dad. Surrender. Whole lives trusted in his hand. But your life has to model your words. And have him start chipping away at that. Love again. Get your financial house in order. Don't be a part of the Dust Bowl. Don't be part of 06-08. Don't be a part of this time. You know, when we in 2000 were going through the scare, fortunately we had a pastor that was talking to us and said, all this is not a concern. But we bought I think it was a 100-pound bag of beans and some rice, and we set it aside. And I was like, well, if it is a concern, we're covered. If it's not, we're going to eat beans and rice, you know, which we do. And we still keep beans and rice on our shelves. We've given it to the neighbors here right across the church, right off our shelves when they lost their job. You know, you guys need to have extra canned goods on your shelves. Some of you have money set aside. A friend of mine came into a fair amount of money, and he put $10,000 on the shelf. What was that for? For whenever God called on it. Well, some of you may not have $10,000. Maybe you got $10 canned goods or something. You can see at the local store. Or you go down to the Dent can store that hasn't poked through and the cans are still good, but they just don't look pretty. And you can have those and set them on your shelf and have them ready for you or for the need of the folks that are around you. Because hard times comes on people. You hear an industry shift, it affects a whole other industry or vice versa. What happens, and some of you have seen your food been given to somebody else and seen the emotion of it. Some of you have never seen that because you've never stepped out to do that. But I will tell you something. When you set that box of food at somebody's doorstep, and they had been crying out, wondering how they're going to feed their kids, and you were just Jesus to them. When you give somebody a glass of water in prison, you've given it to me. And then you have that book of whatever you're going to leave with them. Or when I had an NIV book of those Bibles that somebody gave it to us. We used the New King James Version. And I kept getting, put this on the neighbor's doorstep, and I put our business card for Outpost in there. And it was like 2 or 3 days later, I got a text message, a messaging through Facebook, a tearful message of that. You have no idea. I was praying for that, and it showed up on the shelf. Listen to God. He's still speaking. Please wake up. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Do his bidding. Be that Christian. Don't be that guy. Be the other guy. Don't be that gal. Be the other gal. The one that listens, the one that's ready. Look, if you only got 6 cans of beans on the shelf and you take one and you can give it to somebody else, you can take 2 and give it to somebody else because your Heavenly Father is going to take care of you. Amen? Can we bring the worship guys in or whatever? Tell them we're ready at this time. There's other ways that God takes care of us besides the 4 that I spelled out. Those are just physical, emotional, spiritual, and relational. Those are just a few of them. There was a film that I was watching on Operation Christmas Child's deal, and the gal was in her 90s, and she's kind of shuffling around, you know. And you know what she's shuffling around to? To get that next purse that she's going to make, that soft purse. And she's conscripted to make, I don't know, like 130 of them. Her pastor went to her and said, would you make 130 of these? And she was like, or whatever that number was. And she's like on number 37, you know. And she's just going over there. And she says, I just love doing this. And she's been doing it for years. There's a place for everybody in his kingdom to do his stuff. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the day. We thank you for the opportunity to learn on the heels of others. We didn't have to go through famine to learn a lesson. We didn't have to go through loss of money because money stopped working. We didn't have to give up livestock and land and ourselves because of a famine yet. But you show us this vicariously. You show us this vicariously, that we can learn from it and be prepared, that we can be prepared. Because that's what we're to do, to listen to you and go through next steps. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for these lessons. Don't let us squander these times. Give us the time, Lord, to sit down and jot notes of a couple of changes that need to happen. Maybe you have so much on your shelves that you're saving for a rainy day and you've got a neighbor three doors down that has nothing. And you need, or they have something, but it's not enough. And you need to take off your shelves and give. Lord, let us do that. Let us pry our fingers off of the things that we hold too dear. You know, as it said, you never see a U-Haul on the back of a hearse. And you never see items in the Ziploc of one who has been cremated. So, Lord, we come to you acknowledging that you're almighty. We come acknowledging that you are above all things. And we can't do anything about our nation's debt and unfunded liabilities. There's nothing we can do about it outside seeking you. But us personally, we can be prepared. Us personally, we can be unencumbered. Father, don't let us buy into the next new whatever. I don't like this that I bought because here's one that's got one more shiny object than this one did. Oh my God. Standing before you trying to pitch that argument. The juxtapose is horrific. But God, you are of grace. You are of mercy. You don't let us be trapped where we're at. You just want us to get our eyes on you in everything. Let our words and our heart sync up. Let our words and our mind sync up. Let our words and our actions reflect you, thus synced up. Communion's over here for you. It's open to anybody who's a follower or disciple of Christ. If you call Jesus yours, then it's here for you. If you're struggling with some sin right now, just do business with him, confess it, get it off, turn from it, and come and do communion. And of course, if this is like, okay, it's that time of service, we do communion now, well, then maybe it's time to hold off from that. And some of you need to speak to the Lord about what you're doing with his money because it doesn't line up with the proper bank manager and good stewardship of what's 100% his. Some of you need to sell stuff. Not for this church, not for me, not for any of this. It's mainly because it's an abutment to your relationship with him. Brent, would you pray? Please.
Father God, would you soften our hearts, Lord? Would you loosen our grip of the things of this world, Lord? Would you help us understand how worthy you are of everything, Lord? For there is nothing we have that doesn't belong to you. Father, finances, the children you have blessed us with, the responsibilities you have given us. May we not lose sight that it is your work and we are the vessel in which you have chosen, Lord. May we live in obedience to you and you alone. May we not be afraid or discouraged by what man has to say, Lord. May we sing joyful songs of praise to you for all that you have given us, Lord. For, Lord, you have given us everything, and and your precious Son, Jesus, our Savior. Father, you are holy, you are mighty, you are King of Kings, and we will praise you and we adore you.
Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for communion, Lord. Communing with you, getting our hearts synced up with you, getting our minds synced up with you, letting our life reflect all that we know of you. Father, we were handed out these Operation Andrew lists last week. I pray that you continue to stamp people's names on this by their bedside, by their workstation. Father, that they put their name of the shoebox that they sent out or the boxes that they sent out.